It's time to spark it up with the kennel linguists.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Tale of Teddy Hart, the CDC says don't test for THC. Oregon tax money triples expectation in their first month of selling weed. Teachers letting their kids smoke weed in class and possibly if we have time for it. A town going from coal to weed here on the Can of Linguists with your host Alex Mandelberg, April O'Connor, and our guest absent for a long time, back finally by popular demand, Teddy Totson.
Yes.
Crisis averted.
I'm so fucking excited.
But the monthly visitor has returned.
That's oh, thank saying. God.
Thank God I'm not pregnant.
Panic. No longer. I am here.
And my girlfriend's sitting here to tell me to shut the fuck every once in a while.
I'm back.
She's here for oral
has
support.
Has she told you to shut the fuck up before on the podcast?
A lot. Okay. That's all basically right. Why she's here.
Just tell me that's her job. Tell Alex to shut the fuck up.
Basically.
Right.
Good yep. To know.
But yes.
That's why... she's my favorite guest.
Thank you very
I'm
much.
I'm so excited to have you
but
back,
you are
Teddy.
My second favorite
thanks.
Guest.
No, I appreciate it. Am I in? Am I coming in here?
You're
am
in. You come I'm in good. Live wow. And in
great.
Color.
Canalinguist, what's good? Canalinguist Nation.
Blah, blah.
This is great. This is good. I'm so glad to be here right now.
So glad to be back.
We're going to get to that fucking coal topic, son.
We're going to get to
we going to get to some hard scrabble white people trying to get this weed money.
This is one of the few times.
Get there.
This is one of the few times I'm actually encouraging us not to have a little banter off the top because I want
to talk about that town badly.
I want to get right into the first topic as the first topic involves the
can we not talk about the coal topic first, son?
No. Because
why did you not show this much? Like
I thought I did, April. I thought I did.
Shut the fuck up. We're starting from the top, ladies and gentlemen. We have a schedule.
All right. No, Teddy, I know that you'll be more excited about this first story because this first story involves a gentleman named Teddy Hart, who is the nephew of a man that you and I both know and love.
The best
who is
there is.
Part
the
of
best
the,
there was. The best there ever will be.
He looks
be.
Like the alien from Spring Breakers.
The man on the screw side
look
of the Montreal.
Goatee.
The man on the screw side of the Montreal screw job. Montreal screw job.
Yeah, Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. Yeah. His nephew. He's got his nephew.
The most talented wrestler who never made it is what he called him. Teddy Hart. Who, in this Rolling Stone article, the goatee, first of all. You remember that your man, Prince Albert? Remember there was a wrestler named after a dick piercing for a while?
Yeah, I remember. I remember that a lot.
You were like, oh, your whole face is like a penis.
Yeah.
This man's goatee is basically Prince Albert of the lower third of his face. He breeds cats. He sells weed. He is fired from wrestling promotions and two-thirds of North America.
If those of you who are sitting here on this audio medium going, what are you guys talking about this picture? All right, so imagine if a man had a full beard and he shaved everything off except the hair just on his chin.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, I've seen a lot of dudes do that. But I'm like, wait, I'm not done.
No, he went
and
got a lot.
Then he went and on that chin hair just shaved up lines so that it was just lines up on his chin.
Imagine
of hair.
Imagine if you saw a man with a picket fence on his chin.
And a beard.
And you were like, word fam, you requested that?
Hey guys, I wonder what the maintenance on that's like.
Oh no, you gotta touch that up every day and a half.
Yeah.
Every day and a half you gotta be touching up that tat.
His beard went through
that
a bread
beard
slicer.
Chin slicer thing. But I just, oh, man. I can't believe, though, that a dude in wrestling today, in the days that Rob Van Dam has won High Times Man of the Year twice, I find it hard to believe that the marijuana is something that would get a dude kicked out of wrestling.
Which is, do you how think much weed do you have to smoke backstage?
Like before, in the arena.
Right? Like, that's it. Like, Rob Van Dam is a professional, which means he shows up high.
Yeah.
He has the courtesy to your organization to get high in the parking garage in the rental car. That's what professionals do. If you put me up at the La Quinta, I will get high at the La Quinta and I'll wrestle my ass off, Mr. Monday Night. I make it happen. What I'm not going to do is show up to my dressing room with a handful of Persian cats, which I breed in my spare time, and get high as fuck and sell weed to the security guards at the arena. That's what I'm not going to do, especially if I am not even old enough to drink yet.
Oh, my God. That's right.
He was the youngest. I don't know if he was getting that high at 18, but I imagine he has to be like, I can't imagine this behavior is new for him.
The quote of Teddy Hart, for those of you who are not wrestling fans.
Look at that picture.
The quote of Teddy Hart was, he was the youngest superstar ever signed to the WWE. And he was also the youngest superstar ever fired.
The fired the fastest.
He never even got to his debut match, right?
He never got to his debut match. He was fired 2 or 3 months after they signed him.
That is a fucking stoner right there.
Yeah. Hey, you want me to hit a moonsault?
Wait, when do I go on, fam?
I mean, my only question is, like, did he blow it in McMahon's face and that's why he got fired? Because, I mean,
or did he not blow McMahon?
I mean, yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, in this picture that's on screen right now, he looks like Macklemore's delinquent older brother. He was like, hey, dude, keep doing them raps, bro. You gonna be somebody.
Yo, you got the... Yo, hey.
Hey, hey, spit that shit about the thrift shop. Hit him with that R. Kelly line.
Yeah, yo. Tell him how gay people have equal rights, too.
You really should have some sort of mobile device so that you could look up these pictures of Teddy Hart right now. I'm sorry that we turned this audio medium into an audio visual medium. That's my bad.
I mean, once again, that's really crazy.
Make it a podcast eventually.
That's really crazy.
No, I mean, how high do you have to be as a wrestler?
You just get to watch me smoke the bong and drink whiskey and point at the computer.
That's the point I'm trying to get to. How high do you have to be as a wrestler to fuck up being a wrestler? Because
here's the thing.
I know wrestlers, and I'm not going to name fucking names outside of fucking Rob Van Dam, who's outed himself, but
Marty Jannetty.
There's a lot of fucking wrestlers who smoke weed.
I bet the Bushwhackers smoked weed.
How much weed do you have to smoke?
Well, I feel like that's the most mild drug in the locker room. Like, if I was high as a wrestler, I'd be like, hey, dude, a lot of y'all need to chill with these anabolic steroids. You're making me real uncomfortable with your rage. I'm an angry motherfucker.
With your giant pecs and your little balls.
You're like, hey, man, that locker didn't do nothing to you. Why don't you put it back on its hinges, dude? We got to pay a deposit to rent this fucking arena out. I feel like that's it. Like, you got people who are on steroids, who are probably coked out of their minds, who maybe you're doing meth. Who knows what drugs are there?
Yeah.
Like, how fucking wild do you have to be? Macho Man reference. Okay. What wrestlers do we think smoke meth?
And Hulk Hogan, $130 million man.
I feel like Legion of Doom was a meth group.
Yeah. No, Legion is. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's meth. Ultimate Warrior obviously sold meth out of his trunk.
I mean, we know the Nation of Domination probably had a lot of weed smoking going on.
How dare you bring stereotypes into this conversation?
No, that's a fact. We know that's a fact. We know of, who's that guy with the V, the big fat dude with the blonde hair?
Viscera.
We know he was a pot smoker.
Yeah, we know. We know a lot of things. Nation of Domination absolutely had dime bags.
Yeah, they had dime bags going on.
Okay, to Teddy Hart's point, though. So, he only wrestles in Mexico? And even then now, he comes backstage with cats and weed. Still, dude, your man shows up with weed and, random women who are completely unqualified to be anywhere near a wrestling ring and tries to get them in there, and he breeds cats.
I'm really curious. Scroll up to the top of this article. Go back down. Hit play on that video. I want to – I mean, is this guy really so talented – that this is something we've never seen before. And that's what I want to see. Hit play on this video. I'm curious. All right, so let's see. We got some. Oh, all right. Decently produced. All right. Wow. Okay. I mean, dude's got.
He's incredible. I mean,
he's very athletic. He's very strong. Wow.
All okay. right. Listen. Okay. Listen. Fair enough.
All right.
You don't need to say
I'm
anymore.
I'm seeing the move set. And
okay. Look, the dude looks like someone was basically went on like old school SmackDown and was like, give me every great move. That ever, like, the dude is insanely talented. It's undeniable.
For those
a
of
highlight
you,
reel of 30 seconds.
For those of you who
that.
Are wrestling fans, it was if Neville had the body of Dean Ambrose.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, the dude clearly dreamed up half of those moves high as fuck. You understand? Like, there's
Amen
only...
to weed. No, you have to be high as fuck to throw your body around like that. Are you freaking kidding?
I mean, those were some impressive moves fucking moves that he was pulling off there. But that's the thing that I go looking at that now. I go that extreme amount of athleticism, that amount that he was able to put down, is weed and bringing cats with him really that big a problem? Because that was an impressive fucking move set that I was just seeing.
He really likes the pussy, apparently.
April's bringing it right now. She is
right.
knocking the puns out of the park in this part.
I mean. Teddy, tell me that's not a guy that you would love to be able to promote a fight for.
I'm always a fan of a hacky pun. You can always count on me.
No, listen.
As a man who will be sitting in my
house. Quality product endorsement. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that. April was sincerely like, listen, everyone, if you need a friend to be there with the most hacky pun, just holler at your girl.
As a man who will be.
I've got one on deck.
Teddy, as a man who will be in my house. In 11 days from now, what, it'll be 8 days from when this show airs.
You just go RSVP for
As a man who will be in my house for the show of shows, WrestleMania.
Granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy of them all.
I mean, those.
Isn't this a man you would love to see there?
I would love to see that moveset go.
Whoa.
But here's my question, though. All of us know someone. We can be high and function as professionals in a workplace. Without someone firing us and sending us to another country and that country firing us as well, too. We don't need to leave our native land. So I guess that's what it all comes down to is who is the person that you know who is so bonkers high that they cannot even – like, you don't even have a real job, B. You're a wrestler. You don't work a 9-to-5. You spend most of your days getting high, dreaming up, I'm going to do this pile driver to a power bomb and a DDT, right? And it's stupid. It's stupid. But somehow you
well,
can
awesome.
Do it.
It's amazing. Stupid. It's stupid. It's awesome. Amazing. It's stupid, stupid awesome. Awesome.
But you're not. You don't have to clock in. You ain't got no paperwork. You don't got shit to do except work out, smoke weed, and entertain people. And you
Actually,
can't do that.
Actually, but you've got to do charities. You've
got
to do.
He ain't got no damn charities.
He doesn't have charities. This is a WWE.
Got no damn
he's not a This man is not a WWE. He has no charities to attend.
Wrestlers.
This man has zero charities.
April, what charity are you going to hire Teddy Hart for?
Not a charity in the fucking world that is paying Teddy Hart to show up and be their fucking spokesman. Not a not even a cat rescue. Okay,
I know, that's
not
what
even,
I was going to say.
There's not even
a
cat rescue.
Why you? Should neuter
right.
Why you should neuter
it's
animals
gonna,
and I'm guys like that.
ASPCA is going to bring him out there. Like, this is why breeding your own pets is bad, okay?
You should neuter guys like that while you're at it.
So moving on. So
well,
this
took a very dark turn at the end. I'm not going to let that one pass. April just,
we need to end
and
on rainbows.
And that is why
quickly.
Men should be eunuchs. Back to you, Alex.
No, I'm willing to let it move on of that.
Well, that's why we believe in the power of positivity and the new day. So
yeah,
we're
damn
moving
right.
on in
new
rainbows
day
and
rocks.
Unicorns.
Wait,
fuck what?
New
that shit.
Day rocks. We're wrestling fans. You have to understand, April. We're all wrestling fans.
Listen,
in the South.
I
didn't realize
I
you weren't
up,
a wrestling fan.
I grew up watching wrestling. I fell off maybe at like the late 90s.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Fell the best
you fell off at the best time.
You missed the whole attitude
now
era.
Now I come back
you
and
missed
like
the whole attitude
gold
era.
Dust
the best.
Gold Dust has wow. some sun.
You're like the person who
brother.
Moved
that's
from
brother.
You moved away from California like in 1848. Yeah. You're like, this is bullshit.
You young whippersnapper.
Manifest Destiny is garbage.
All right, I'm going to pull a shotgun.
You got back to Missouri, and all your friends were like, hey, yo.
This gold.
There's gold in this motherfucker.
I just don't
1849
know.
Is the year, baby.
You young whippersnappers. Wait, I need to correct this, April. Oh. You said Goldust's son
or whatever. Yeah, no.
Is his Stardust brother?
Stardust, that's his brother.
Oh, fuck that's off. His brother.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's
I need to
brother.
Pull a shot the fuck up.
Yeah, that's his brother.
Sorry.
All right, so we're moving on.
Your whole ancestry missed out on gold money because you were like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, really. You left right before the Attitude Era, which was crazy. Widely known as the greatest era of wrestling.
I left right after, like, Suck It.
Stone Cold. Oh. You left right before Stone Cold, The Rock. You left right before.
Before
they hit their big strides. Yeah. You left right before Chris Jericho hit his big stride. You left before Triple H hit his biggest stride.
I didn't leave. No. I just, you know, got better shit to do than watch. Sorry.
No.
Finish your sentence.
Finish your sentence.
I think English Nation wants to know.
They want to know what's
about to pop off.
Yeah, what's about to pop off?
Real disrespect.
What's going on?
I'm just kidding. It's great entertainment. It's great entertainment. And we'd love to have Rob Van Dam on.
And you just see the gun move out of the frame.
You're goddamn right,
April.
Shout
out to Mr. Monday Night.
Shout out. Rob Van Dam, we want you on the show. Rob, we want you so bad.
I
show, Rob.
I listened to that not so good one of a kind song, son. I burned that joint on a CD.
Speaking of burning joints,
it was okay.
That's a big fan right there. I promise if we get Rob that we'll call you to come in and be a guest as well.
No,
Teddy.
No.
He's got to come down and visit.
Damn, son. Yeah, executive producer just got real. No jokes. Next topic, please.
Shut it down.
All right, so now I'm finally moving us on. So the CDC tells doctors not to test patients for marijuana.
This is the best podcast.
When checking.
This has never been a podcast where someone just pulled out a Ziploc full of weed in the middle of a top. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Well, it's okay.
You said something about burning joints.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we're gonna burn
but
a joint.
Not about an actual joint.
All right, shut the fuck up. Let the man do the topic.
So the CDC. Oh, hell yeah. I like shut the fuck up and let the man do the talking.
You're only here to tell him to shut the fuck
and
up.
And so far, she's only told. You to
you're
shut
fired.
The fuck up twice.
She's topic, fired.
Not talking.
Sid was brought in here to tell me to shut the fuck up, and she's only told April to shut the fuck up twice.
You're fired.
Love this.
You're fired.
Anyways, so the CDC has been telling doctors that from now on, if you're testing a patient to make sure that he's not trying to just sham you or shill you for painkillers, don't test for marijuana. And
yeah, no shit. I mean that. They're basically shutting people down from getting their pain meds because they're also using cannabis for pain because they're saying,
the big acknowledgement of this, I think it goes further than that.
No, you don't have meth in your system. You can have painkillers.
Well, hold on. The big thing that we've been begging for a lot of years was for people to stop using the term gateway drug for marijuana.
I prefer gateway herb. My first dispensary job, my boss there, she was an actual pharmacist. I hate using the term
gateway for marijuana.
She
I do
said
not
it's
think
a gateway herb. That's better.
But it's not a gateway anything.
It is.
It is just a fucking drug. A drug the same way any other drug is, but this drug I do not believe leads anybody
it's not a drug, it's
to
a plant.
Probably do anything.
I think,
a drug is
I
after
think,
you've already synthesized.
Yeah, but drugs come from plants too.
I think the gateway aspect, because I don't agree with the gateway drug aspect or the gateway drug philosophy about marijuana. I've never agreed with that. You know, even with Dare growing up and all that shit.
Oh, I fucking
listen,
hate Dare. I've
coming up in Texas, I saw the most outdated anti-drug videos in the world. It's probably like Nancy,
what did your anti-drug videos say?
It's probably like some Nancy Reagan cutting room floor shit. Where they're like, that's too extreme. Send it to Texas. They'll like it. They'll eat it. We watched a lot of outdated videos in Texas. I remember watching one about health, about AIDS. Where like,
oh, no.
Where at the end, they came in. And this was like, yo, like, this is late 90s, and they were like, but don't worry, only gays can get AIDS. And you're like, what?
What?
I was like, that's not... like, you could like hear someone in the bleachers be like, "What about Magic Johnson?" And I'm like, and so that's just to put it all in perspective. But the thing about the thing about the gateway is that I feel like because it's been you know, the bullshit war on drugs, and it's clearly very targeted communities who get the crackdown. So much of it is the culture surrounding it, because it's not legalized, it's not mainstream at all.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by elements that you would not if it were medicinal or recreational and such. But then you have people who are legitimately trying to get medication but can't because, well, they smoked weed, so that disqualifies you from getting the treatment that you need. That's where, yeah, I feel like it's completely unfair. Because you're talking – and even if you don't, right, if you're testing for it, they're not accurate tests.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about maybe 20% of people getting rejected because of a false positive.
But they're realizing that they're rejecting people for using marijuana, so now they're going to just marijuana.
Yeah.
So they're like, wait, no. If you test for marijuana, it's okay. We'll still give you opiates.
The latest statistics have proven that the biggest gateway drug to harder opiates, being the heroines. I mean, heroin is basically the biggest killer in the United States right now as far as drug overdoses go.
Well, you get your prescription drugs too.
And the big gateway for that is prescription drugs. Right. It's not marijuana. No,
it's prescriptions. Well, I mean, you go in because you got a tooth pulled or something,
yeah,
and you get on opioids, and then the next thing you know, you're addicted, and it's a shit show from there. I mean, you have no resources to really combat that addiction in your community.
And there's no doubt that the dude that you're going to buy black market Vicodin for $20 a pop, there's no way that that dude doesn't have heroin for $7 a bag.
Right.
And that –
Well, I think the other thing is that you can end up – right, if you want to talk about – if you're really looking at gateway, it's – the overprescription of opioids, or the sloppy prescription of them.
Yeah, very much.
At the medical level, right?
Yeah.
Post-surgery level, outpatient level. That's really the gateway there. You've mm-hmm. got people who become addicted to these things.
There are pill mills, too, yeah. You know? The ones right. that where they actually they're predatory with people. In certain states, they have people that if you got into a car accident, you have this pill mill calling you with their pain management clinic.
Yeah.
And they give you Somas and Vicodins and Valiums.
Dude, I remember getting the really, really heavy Percocets when I went to my Union Health doctor, and I was playing a rugby game, and I separated my shoulder, but it was in place. I didn't tear anything. It was just a really, really bad sprain. Dude gave me 90 Percocet with 2 refills.
Damn.
Wait, hold up, son. 2 refills?
Yeah.
That's a party.
That's a full year.
Yeah.
That's a full year, basically.
Yeah.
In a sense. That's a lot of Percocet. I mean, like, okay, listen, you're not, like, even, like, you're not, let's say you weren't heavy, right? But you're taking one every couple of days, or I mean, like, that's a shitload of Percocet.
Yeah,
you could last a long time on a calendar year with that amount.
Well, I mean, or a very short amount of time, depending on.
I'm assuming that you are at the opening stages of your soon to be downward spiral into the abyss. This is phase one of phase like 4.
Yeah, sort
of,
it definitely. Right?
You're not
certainly.
Like if you were phase 3, I'd be like, oh, so like in 2 weeks you're gonna be back.
Yeah, but then I definitely agree though that marijuana is certainly not something that doctors need to be testing for if you're worried about someone being an opioid addict.
Right.
I think that you would get far more, like you said earlier, far more false positives than you would get.
And I think the other problem you would want to worry about is, again, like if someone is actually willing to come forward and try to get treatment and get help, and they are somehow screened out because they fucking smoked a couple joints, then you're in a sense turning people away from the last thing that could possibly save them.
Yeah.
You know? Because they happen to have the audacity to maybe self-medicate for a couple of days.
We have a mutual friend who is using marijuana for the first time in his life because he has skin cancer, and his doctor told him, he's like, listen, the type that you have, marijuana is really good with it. And yeah.
Skin cancer.
That's a dude who would be.
Is he putting it on his skin too?
No, no, no. He's taking Rick Simpson oil.
He should be putting it on.
Well, he's putting it on as well, but he's taking Rick Simpson oil.
Did the doctor like close the curtains and shit when he told him that information?
Yeah.
Based off the way that you did?
Yeah.
Because you did that shit real covert. You're like, hey, dude, listen. I just sent my assistant home.
What are you doing?
About to tell you.
Can you clear your calendar for the rest of the afternoon?
About to tell you that real shit.
About to tell you that real, real shit. All right, so moving on, because we're going to get to this fucking last topic.
You're damn skipping we get into it.
So the Oregon tax, Oregon's taxes on recreational marijuana tripled the expectation in the first, 3 months. Or first month or something.
First month.
They tripled the expectation.
3.48 mil in January.
Damn.
It does exceed expectations.
It's a 25% tax.
That is.
On recreational sales?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It says medicinal is untaxed, right? Yeah. So that's. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that model. If it's real medicinal, no tax. But if I just want to go get some fucking weed.
Some dope, man.
If I'm just trying to get
some brownie.
Yeah, right? Like, just trying to get loaded, then I'll pay the tax. I mean, I would rather go be able to buy a fucking 10-pack of joints, pay a 25% tax, and just be good.
Yeah, I can understand that. But... That being said,
That's a lot of money for a
month. Was that three? Is that how much they made in taxes? Yeah. This might bring about $1 million in taxes. So there was $4 million in sales.
Right.
$1 million in taxes.
Right. No. The state collected $3.48 million in taxes for recreational marijuana sales in January.
So yes, that means
they thought it might bring in $1 million.
Oh.
From 3.48 million from 253 dispensaries.
Ooh.
Jesus.
That's a big ass market, man. You can't sustain that obviously at that rate forever, but
okay, really quickly open up a Google window and just ask how many public schools there are in the state of Oregon. Cuz I'm really curious. What 3.8 million is divided by how many schools there are in the state of Oregon.
That's silly, dude. That's silly.
Because that's a lot of fucking money.
I don't know how it is.
Oregon public schools.
Colorado gives the money to schools and to.
So 3,800,000. All right, 3,800,000 divided by 1,301 public schools. That is basically $3,000 to every public school.
A month. That's not that much money.
$3,000 to every public school a month on top of all the other public funding. I guarantee you,
we might get music back in the schools, guys.
That's Weed music back in the schools.
All right, everyone, say hello to your new music teacher via Skype. That $3,000 paid for this HP book, so you go learn these fucking notes today.
But that's $3,000 a month to each school.
No.
I mean that's a decent amount of money.
I think that the thing is right, if you've got these shortfalls and it's not the state level and then the more local city level is that's a amazing revenue source because that state taxes, but then you've also got people who are employed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got sales going from farms and such. I mean, you've got a vibrant economy developing where people are paying and being taxed for it, but everyone is benefiting from their contribution in some kind of way.
Yeah.
And you can focus on the taxes, but you also can focus on the fact that someone who maybe had a plot of land that used to be a farm can now retrofit it for growing weed, or people who previously were in some sort of manufacturing job that got shipped out can now sort of become a part of this industry.
I feel a segue coming on.
Perhaps you're a town that
that used to dig coal. But they had to quit because they had the black lung cough.
Perhaps your town was attached to an industry that was poisoning the planet, and you had a chance to revitalize Fern Gully 2.
You know what? I'm moving us on
just because I want to get us to this last subject now. So a teacher allowed. I'm steamrolling us through this because you know what? As far as I'm concerned, $3,000 to every public school in Oregon a month. Now you know recreational weed does
good
things.
Can I suggest
this? It brings music back to the school.
I think April would be on board for this. I'm not sure about you. But if you took that $3,000 and you went to every school and you just stood like on top of the bleachers in the gym and you just made it rain money to the kids. and you're like every school knew that it was like Make It Rain Wednesday.
Make It Rain Wednesday once a month.
And you just like brought your net and your bag.
Why did you think I wouldn't be for Make It Rain Wednesday? Yeah, I love that.
Of course
I love Make It Rain Wednesday.
I'm not trying to start riots. I'm trying to give back to the youth.
You're damn right. Oh my God.
Makes it rain.
Yeah,
that is wonderful.
Put that on a banner above the gym and then just throw money.
Oh, gosh. All right, so moving on. So, yeah, a teacher let his students smoke weed, a Virginia teacher.
Look at that mugshot.
Oh, my God. He let his student smoke weed in the classroom, which, as you can imagine, was wildly illegal.
Is he high in that mugshot? Yes or no?
He sold them the weed.
He's
high in that mugshot, though, right?
Okay, so Dominic Anthony...
April? He was allowing juveniles, though.
Of Glen Allen, has been charged with 3 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Says it was an alternative school.
Henrico police said the investigation began on March 4th after they received information that Luzi was allowing juveniles to smoke marijuana inside the classroom at the Academy of Virginia Randolph. Alternative school.
That doesn't make it okay.
He's no longer.
It's an alternative school. What did you expect, Yana? Of course they're getting high.
Well,
the system gave up on them.
A 23-year-old teacher of a high school? Even a middle school. That's a really young teacher.
It's an alternative school.
Yeah, man. They don't care about
them kids. Alternative to what? Real school?
Yes, where they give you teachers who aren't your peers. Where they give you a teacher who's like, oh, I don't know about this open-air drug deal. Instead of being like, hey, dude, meet me behind the T buildings.
Okay. Quick question. Can I play devil's advocate? Could we just, like, I don't know, suppose the guy stepped out on a smoke break and let the kids take a test?
Denial is not just a reprieve.
Where did they get the weed from?
Are you sharing that joint or what?
No, she's not sharing nothing. She's not sharing nothing. I wasn't going to call her out. I wasn't going to call her out because I was hoping that
April been hogging this joint, just so you know. She lit it up at the 22 mark. It's the 32 mark. She's been hogging this joint for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the reason you haven't heard April speak as much is because she's been a little preoccupied.
Oh, you wanted this, baby? Okay.
I didn't even realize.
Here's the thing, right? It doesn't say in the article that he gave them the weed to smoke, right?
No, which you means, can just tell from looking at that him.
I believe that. I believe he contributed to their weed. But
yeah.
Fact of the matter remains, I've had some cool as fuck teachers in my lifetime.
So have I.
I've never had a teacher who was cool as fuck that I was like, I'm about to bring this joint to class and spark all the way up. Like, I know things are different in school now from when we were there, but that's fucking wild as shit to me that kids feel comfortable enough.
I'm sure it has happened before. Is for sure.
I remember the main reason that...
You talking about yourself?
I remember the main...
I might have been witness to it. I can't... Set your limitations up.
That's right.
Tell me if I'm crazy with this.
Tell me if I'm crazy with this.
I plead the fifth.
Because we're all roughly the same age. I remember when I was in high school.
Speak for yourself.
I remember when I was in high school.
That was
at young blood. That was the beginning of crystal meth starting to make a big pop.
What?
Did not expect this conversation.
Yeah, wow, well, this took a turn.
That was the beginning of the Fight Club suicide pact.
And the and the reason for that I always felt.
And that was when all the virgins committed suicide. You're like, what?
I felt like the reason behind that was, and kids would always say this, was they went, oh, because I could smoke it at school. And people can't smell it. It doesn't have a strong smell like smoking weed does. And kids would be – they. No one would smoke –
Is that true? Because that doesn't seem true to me.
No one would smoke weed.
Water bottle.
No one would smoke weed at school. But I remember there were the bungalows that you always knew. You would always find kids smoking meth behind them because they're like, oh, yeah, I can smoke here. No one's going to smell it. But if you smoked weed, you knew you were getting caught.
That doesn't seem true to me.
I did not grow up in California. So I
said that's just like a
stupid. We do not have people smoking
shit. She disavowed California so hard. I didn't grow up here.
I didn't grow up here.
And where I grew up, meth had a distinct smell. So your state is trash.
No, it did not exist.
I've seen people smoking meth in Massachusetts, just
I've been corrected.
Not in high school. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw it in high school.
Middle school at a proper age.
I just smoked cigarettes in the bathroom.
I'm
real.
Like,
dude, the worst
wow.
I had was okay. Like girls smoking cigarettes in the bathroom, girls smoking cigarellos in the parking lot.
Or the Beaties. You remember Beaties?
Yes, or Beaties. Or
they
would take
dizzy
as here's the other.
And put it in the water bottle and drink it as water. You know, like that's the worst I've seen. I've never heard of them doing fucking.
Here's my, here's my other thing.
Like, I saw it. I saw
people,
it.
The people below me in high school, I definitely know that they were doing K and stuff in school.
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. And I was, that was not my.
Now, all right, this
I
is.
I don't do that in public.
April's, April's unwillingness to rat out anybody brings me to another point about this.
Because April
is
a snitch.
Yeah, exactly. April's principle is where she's like, I don't even know who Mike is. The only reason we know about this whole thing is because someone gave them information, right? They were like, who snitched on the class? It's got like, who snitched?
Oh, God. You know what?
Because, yo, like, I'll tell you something. Even if I wasn't smoking, I'd be like, hey, okay. Like,
I had a teacher.
My teacher's high as fuck. Let me go get these grades.
I had a
right
teacher
now.
Fired my senior year. There's a teacher who was fired, our health teacher, for telling an inappropriate joke. And the joke was literally a joke that we'd all heard a million times before he even told it, which was the whole the boy in elementary school says, oh, let's come in the closet. Let me put my finger in your ear. And she goes, that's not my ear. And he goes, it's not my finger either.
Oh.
Yeah, he told us that joke.
Well, hold on a second. That's a renowned joke?
Yeah. He told that joke in class because he would always tell us a joke at the end of class. And every once in a while.
I feel like he was setting you up for that for a long time. That man deserved to be fired for that.
Really? Does a high school teacher deserve to be fired for telling that joke?
Why is he telling jokes, fam?
At the end of class, to be the cool, likable, agreeable guy.
What is he teaching?
He was teaching health and life. No, excuse me.
What the hell are you gotta line up at the health class?
No, excuse me. I actually did. No, sorry. I was actually completely wrong. He was teaching life skills, which, as far as I'm concerned, telling a joke at the end of the life skills class, I felt was the smartest thing a teacher could do.
Says the comedian.
Oh, and there are three in this room. Give me a freaking
Do you think that's a terrible thing for a life skills teacher to do, to tell a joke at the end of class?
Yes.
No, actually, I
really?
I don't think the joke telling is bad. I think that joke is very poor for a school environment.
All right.
A high school senior environment. We're 17 years old.
What year is this?
Senior year.
No.
Oh, what? This would
calendar
be 2004.
Ooh, Alex has got you.
Suppose Y2K, man. Can't do that, man. Can't
really?
Do that.
Wait, are you talking about high school?
When I was in high school, my senior year, my senior life skills teacher was fired 3 weeks into the semester.
Because someone snitched on him?
Because someone snitched on him for telling an inappropriate joke.
Look, I wouldn't fire him. I wouldn't snitch on him. All I'm saying is I'm not surprised he got fired. Senior teachers fired for far less in Texas. They're talking about children having sex. You know how easy it is to paint that man as a deviant?
Oh, you and your church.
I had another teacher fired my senior year for having sex with a student.
I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying it's a very easy case to make against a teacher. Very easy case to make.
There was another teacher my senior year who was fired for having sex with a student. That was the health teacher, by the way.
Oh,
that
how
was the
cute.
One was...
Our ROTC teacher didn't get fired.
That one deserved to be fired.
Hey, dude, your whole rotation is messed up, man.
That one deserved to be fired. So now, moving on, with 10 minutes left, we powered through it. We've gotten to...
Main event.
The main event. Ding, ding, ding. Ladies and gentlemen, the coal town that has decided to switch to marijuana.
I don't know if it's official yet.
Well, that's the proposal.
Right.
It's amazing. It's Hotchkiss, Colorado, which, by the way, just the name already, Hotchkiss.
Just white as hell.
Yeah, it sounds very white.
Hotchkiss sounds, I'm like, okay, so y'all, you got white people cutting your grass too? Here's the thing. Look at that. Look at that.
That lady.
Oh, my.
What is she? She's looking out the window being like,
all these weed growers out here.
I've never seen so many plants in this cul-de-sac. No, she's probably all about it, though. No, she's one of the leading voices behind getting rid of it. Here's what I think is fascinating is, and I think we've talked about this when I've been on before, is that, right? Well, I guess we should set the context of the story before we go into it, right?
No, go ahead. Set it up. You know it, too. This is your big baby there, Teddy.
Come on.
Yeah, he's been all right, fighting listen. For this
Drop
all
it on
night.
Us. Drop yeah. it on us, Teddy.
All right, so Hotchkiss, Colorado. Mountain town. Coal miners who, when Colorado was like, we're going to get this weed money, baby, they were like, fuck you.
Yeah, they said
voted twice to shut it down.
Yep.
They were like, nah, you're not going to bring that dirty, filthy, hippie shit to our community. We got coal. We good. Forever.
Forever with coal.
And then coal was like, about that forever thing. Coal gone. And now, y'all broke as hell. Your company's bankrupt. Your community's bankrupt. And the only friend you got
is marijuana.
Marijuana staring you in the face. You looking at Oregon. Bringing in
3.84.
What? You think?
And it's been legal in Colorado.
Been legal. You hear in Colorado putting up all kind of numbers. You hear in all kind of schools getting funded.
Do you know
all kind of cities being infused with money?
I'm just really curious if they
you mentioned the programs, anti-drug programs and shit.
So, if the city of Hotchkiss, Colorado, were to set up just one, where they were like, "Hey, all right, we're gonna give you the strongest edible that we can find. We're gonna give you two joints, and we're gonna let you just wander around a coal mine for 3 hours." I feel like they would make $4 million immediately.
They would make at least $2 million off Silver Lake.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They would flock to that place.
They would flock there.
I'm confused that it says that they're trying to get it. Isn't it legal in Colorado?
So legal in Colorado at the state level, but certain cities basically said,
"Nah."
They basically wanted
cities were allowed. Right. Part of the law that was passed,
like
when,
how they have dry towns.
Well, no,
counties, baby, growing
dry
towns.
Yeah, part of the
dry county.
Part of the provision,
that's terrible.
If I understand the law correctly, part of the provision when Colorado legalized marijuana recreationally was they said that there would be county-wide votes to determine whether each county wanted to participate. And this was one of the very few holdouts that said no thank you. So like I said, I personally, if you told me I could eat an edible, smoke a bunch of joints in a coal mine and just wander around in a coal mine for a few hours, that sounds pretty fucking awesome to me.
I think the shitty thing is that so many, right? Because like you've got so much money that could have been made for such a long time, and you've got so many lives that have been ruined for nonviolent drug offenses, have been put behind bars for decades for the most petty of petty crimes. And now you've got states like Colorado that are stacking a billy in sales, right? And now you got communities like this being, well, I guess we could build a downtown off weed and make it super discreet. Like, you see that fucking quote from him.
Well, and also,
let's listen to Tom Willis, a town trustee who runs a used bookstore. First of all, That's just AKA for broke.
If we could get it legalized right now, we could create some jobs, and we need the tax revenue. Downtown's not going to be all flashing green crosses and dancing marijuana leaves. You can make it as unobstructive as you want.
That's a dude who's going, who's already selling weed in his bookstore. He's not even selling new books, son.
Yeah.
You're selling used books. No disrespect to books. I love used books, but you're not making money, Thomas.
No, he's not.
You're not making money. When you selling weed out the back of your used bookstore, though, all of a sudden, you got yourself a nice little drug front.
But, Teddy, yeah, that's the thing.
You as a book and a bag of weed inside.
Teddy, as a man who comes from Texas, you know what these some of these very small coal mining type. I'm not – because they're not coal in Texas. It's usually oil. Yeah. But these cities that are
– fossil fuel-dependent very communities.
And self-sustained. Right. They don't make a great living, but they sustain a pretty decent living.
But our bootstraps are the finest bootstraps in
off
the country.
Off of one industry, and right. Everyone in the town works in that one industry.
Right.
And you know how close-minded and hard off to change these towns can be. So to see a town like that, even though it is in Colorado, which we know can be pretty liberal at times,
well,
depending on
where it is.
Colorado's
an interesting state because you've got a healthy mix of all three.
The liberal are the most liberal.
The independents in Colorado are actual kind of the kind of independence that you hear in national political conversation.
Like, yeah.
You actually have real independents in Colorado who are like, eh, I know my community is fucking economically a boondoggle, but let's go get this weed money.
Yeah. It's a weird, interesting, different kind of place. But that being said, even that being said, for a close-minded type one industry fossil fuel town, even though it is in Colorado, which is a very purple state.
Purple?
Purple meaning
swing state.
A swing state. A state that could go blue or red based on any election. They call it purple. That's what they're saying if Donald...
You're shaking your head at that.
If Donald Trump were to run against Hillary Clinton in the general election...
Well, that's not purple no more, baby.
Then...
It's a firm, solid midnight.
That was the thing they were... That's... You've heard people start saying that Texas could become purple. That's a statement that you'll hear a lot if Donald Trump is in the general election. How Texas could be purple.
Well, wait. Because Texas... They're not for Trump?
They're not for Trump. No, they voted for Cruz in their primary. They actually were big not fans of Trump.
Wow.
Yeah, back
big Latino topic, turnout can make a difference.
Yes.
The point is, though, right, how many times have we talked about marijuana legalization and that at the end of the day it comes down to pure economics, though, right? So many states, communities, whatever level you want to talk about, that resistance to it, you have to make a dollars argument to people.
Well, that's why
to sort of get the thing started.
That was the question I was getting to: is how much of a change is, even though, like I said, it's in Colorado. How much of a change is one of these close-minded fossil fuel towns making this choice? How much does that start making that downward south, that Bible belt that we're always that
Rust Belt area,
that kind of Rust thing. Belt Bible belt, the ones that are always the last ones that we have to drag kicking and screaming into change.
You know what I think?
How long does it take for stuff like that? Because
this is where
it always starts. It always starts though in some small town that's fossil fuel driven, deciding to make a change. That's what starts driving change through that iron south belt.
I think. Here's the economic part of it is if you're an area that's lost coal jobs, right? Your coal mines have all shut down, or your manufacturing is shut down, or you know whatever plant you've had is shut down. You can repurpose buildings, warehouses, land for growing marijuana, and all of a sudden now you've got a vibrant industry that you could subsidize in some way if you declassify it as Schedule One. It doesn't have to be subsidized at the federal level, but it could be subsidized at the state level as well too. But you've proven now in multiple states that slight variations of the legalization model can work. You know, you can adapt it to your county in Colorado where these six towns are going to vote in April to see whether or not they allow wholesale weed growing to happen, you know?
You mean, I guess you're like, whether or not they get in on the billion-dollar
whether or not they acknowledge that they were fucking idiots for the last... And it's no disrespect to y'all. Sometimes
we
all...
Be getting this
we all make mistakes, but right, but sometimes your mistake starts to add up to $1 billion, and you're like, wow, I was dumb.
I was very dumb.
My dusty books aren't looking too good.
Hey, they're not buying these used copies of the Count of Monte Cristo, fam. This weed.
Roll some joints.
Hey, these used Johnny Tremaines are not moving off the shelf.
I want to close out on this question before we close out. Have you been surprised in the last 5 years how many people in your life you found out smoke weed or are willing to use weed from time to time?
Yes. Okay, here's. There's a couple things to that.
Because I feel like that gets to this whole thing.
And I'm surprised when you won't.
Yeah. I also look back at my life and my years where I was like, I cannot believe it took so long for me to start smoking weed. I don't know how I lived as long as I did.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how I got through high school without smoking weed, to be honest with you, man. Like, I was just sober
more.
Every day. Good God. What a fucking idiot. But, yes, I've had parents of close friends of mine who I found out that, like, when we were just growing up, and they were like, yeah, we were getting high in the garage. And I was like, oh my God, what?
I thought you were responsible.
Well, they were responsible. No, that was the thing. And now I'm not in that exact situation, but it's like, of course you could get high and, like, look after children. You're not a fucking monster.
We've talked about that on here, about how in Colorado they did. You know, they were saying that the majority of the people that smoked were making 50K or higher.
They're like working professionals. Yeah. You're not like, it's not, and I think that's it, right? Like now for so long, that reefer madness stereotype dominated.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Right. The Cheech and Chong stoner type was it. And now you've got a generation of people who are, you know, working class, who are white collar professionals across all kind of demographics and all age ranges, who are like, yes, I smoke weed every day and I contribute to society.
Yep.
And the evidence is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
One of them is on this podcast right now.
What was I smoking tonight?
I was actually about to say this.
No, you like.
I can speak because I'm one. I know that. There's three. Then
I'm like in disbelief that April just did a bird call right now.
I did not see that.
You said
I just realized I made it awkward. Now that I think about it, yeah, fucking hey, Teddy, you were just on fucking Fuse Media. We're having an interview with Morgan Freeman.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm gonna pitch it for you.
He had to be so high when he went on stage to get those girls.
No, hold on a second. Let me finish the story. Teddy Tutson, who was on Fuse Media, had an interview with Mr. Morgan Freeman about the new film that he was in, where Morgan, God love him, he was
fucking
hilarious. London Has Fallen. And Morgan said the things that he would have in his survival shelter.
His safe house in the movie. And I was like, what would you have in your safe house?
And he said he would, oh, well, I have to have a joint.
Couple of joints. And I was like, I wanted to fucking spaz out so hard when I was in that. I'd be like, my man.
But I knew you was legit, baby. I knew you was legit. I'm wasting all my time right now. We ain't getting no footage, but you the man, Morgan. I'm out. But you know why Teddy didn't do that? And I'm going to give him credit here for something I didn't a minute ago because I was a dick. He's a professional. Professional. Weed smoking. Doesn't matter because he's still going to be a professional.
Get the job done.
And April is too, but I can't give her as much credit because she works in a world where she works with weed. So, you know.
The stakes aren't as high for you, man.
Teddy was on Fuse Media.
Thanks for just putting it all out there. Appreciate
I'm throwing it out there.
But no, it was great because
putting it all out
because
there.
Because when he's like he said it and I was like, are you high right now, Morgan? The coolest thing was that like when I came in, you have to like announce yourself and he thought I said Kenny. And then when I slayed it, I was like Teddy Tutson. And he was like, I thought your name was Kenny. And I was like,
I was like, I'm not going to correct you, Morgan Freeman. And he was like, I'm sorry, Teddy. And I was like, oh, my God, you care.
Did you see when he went up and got the Girl Scout cookies at the Oscars?
Yes, yes, yes. That was so great.
How high was he?
High as fuck.
He's always high as fuck.
He wasn't even part
of that. He was so comfortable when he said it.
He just got up there and he just grabbed himself cookies and he went back to the seat.
I'm so glad I could live in a world where Morgan Freeman is like, hell yeah, I'm going to bring these joints to the safe house. If it's the end of the, if I'm fucking under attack, you're damn right I'm going to be high. And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
me too,
God.
Morgan Freeman. Me too. And fucking Hotchkiss, Colorado. We all gonna be high in the same house.
Oh my God, I hate that we have to wrap up so soon now with this story going on. But
here's the thing, right? Can I just tell you, if I came to you, let's say April and I came to you, right? And we're like, hey, dude, we got the most baller idea in the world. I promise you, in like 5 years, tops, we gonna be making $1 billion. Right? And we hit you with it. And it was a real good ass idea. We were like, yo, listen, we got this thing mapped out. Here's the fucking business model. We got the plan. We got the blueprint. And you were like, nah, I'm good. And we went out there and we started making all the money. And then you got the chance to buy in again because we came back to you because we friends. We were like, yo, it's not abstract no more, son. We making money. I'm Scrooge McDucking it. I'm in this vault diving in gold. And you're like, nah, I'm good. And we kept making more money. And now we come back to you and we're like, yo, here's the money. How you gonna feel?
I'm gonna feel shitty.
You're gonna feel real shitty.
You're gonna feel real
shitty.
Now
imagine you're a full town of people. You're like 15,000 motherfuckers. How shitty does your whole community feel? Some of y'all done died.
Yeah.
Cause you didn't take no money.
That's true. It's very true. It's
their
amazing.
Schools didn't get the $3,000.
Your roads ain't paved.
Their
hospitals ain't funded.
Your schools ain't getting $3,000 a month. Right? That's what I know.
Yeah. Your right. Kids can't read, but they know that you broke as fuck, though.
Oh, man. Well,
books are dusty.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us. Thank you, Teddy, for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having
coming
me back.
Back and letting
it.
Us know that we're not pregnant for yet another month. Thank you.
You know, when you put it that way, it's always a delight.
Thank you, April,
visitor.
As always.
Please come back.
Yeah,
again.
You better be back again next month.
I don't we
don't want to worry again for another month.
So I had y'all as thought it was a drought.
Yeah, it was terrifying. It was really terrifying.
This is fucked up.
Thank you, Crab Diving Network. Thank you, Riffopolis Studios.
Don't do this again.
And thank you, all of our tens of listeners, for listening to
Cantilingus
us.
Cantilingus Nation, thank you.
Cantilingus Nation, thank you. Good night.
Love.